There I was watching my television this morning, and there was another commercial promoting the idea of a graduated fair, that's the word, income tax for the state of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker likes it. Maybe you do, too, because you don't make $251,000. So here's the question, and we've got two guests to respond to this issue for us today. Should we have a graduated income tax? We don't. What's fair? And who should be paying more taxes to help the state of Illinois? We invited two people into our studio to talk about this. One is Orfi Duvungi. He is the chief economist for the Illinois Policy Institute. And he joins us now on WGN. Orfi, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Pardon me, I'll turn your microphone on. Say that again.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad that you could make it here. And Ralph Martiri is here. He's the executive director of the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. He's also the Rubloff Professor of Public Policy at Roosevelt University. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me on, John.
What do you think of the governor's proposal?
Well, I think it's a really important first step to modernizing the tax code here in Illinois. If you look at the basic principles of taxation, different taxes are supposed to perform different roles, but you're trying to find some taxes that are responsive to the economy, fair to taxpayers, and stable. Now, no tax other than the income tax can actually be designed to account for ability to pay. Every other tax is regressive in its incidence. It will take more of the income of a lower moderate income family than an affluent family, sales tax, property tax, etc. So the one tax in the toolkit that could actually be designed to follow ability to pay and create a little fairness vertically across income classes is the income tax.
I get that point, Orfi. What's wrong about that?
Oh, there's nothing fair about this tax proposal because, one, it's not modernizing the tax code, and two, it's misleading Illinoisans into thinking they're going to get a tax break.
But it's not regressive. I mean, I understand his point. If I buy a sneaker and I have a lot of money and you buy a sneaker and you don't have much money, it's less of a pain for me than it is for you.
Right.
Maybe that's not fair. Maybe at least our income should be, the tax should be pegged to our income on an income tax.
And the flat tax is already pegged to your income, right?
How so?
It's a proportional tax. That if you earn more, you pay a larger share of income tax revenues to the state.
Overall.
That's right.
What's your response to that?
You know, that's really not how you measure tax burden. Tax burden, if you talk to anybody that works in the industry, is the percentage of your income taken, right? So if you earn $1 billion a year and you pay $1 million in taxes, that's not much of a burden. If you earn $10,000 a year, you pay $2,000 in taxes, that's a huge burden.
Or if you would say, yeah, but you are paying more. You will be paying more, but I can understand the point that maybe you're not paying enough. It begs the whole fair issue. Right. Talk about that.
Sure.
What's fair here?
Sure. You know, we talked about modernizing the tax code. This is not modernizing the tax code because the last state to implement a progressive income tax was the state of Connecticut in 1996. And we know what happened in Connecticut. What happened in Connecticut is the poverty rate increased 47% at a time where America was booming. Right. We had a booming economy in the 90s. Poverty rates were falling everywhere, but they increased in Connecticut. And our math shows that the tax change was contributed to 73% of that increase.
So because they had a graduated income tax in Connecticut when everybody else was doing well, because of that, Connecticut did not do well?
Absolutely.
And that's a completely false analogy there. So there has never been a peer-reviewed academic study that finds any statistically meaningful correlation between economic growth at the state level and your tax policy, period.
Really? So if I don't have a graduated income tax, there's no proof that that will actually improve the outcome of the state?
Yeah, and if you look at the data, so you were talking about your home state earlier, Minnesota. Minnesota, when Governor
we had Ventura, and then you had Dayton.
When Governor Dayton got in, he inherited a hot mess. He had a $6.1 billion deficit. He had an economy that had created only 4,000 jobs in the prior 7 years combined. He had bridges collapsing. He had an unemployment rate north of 7%. He said, I can't solve my problem without increasing taxes. And not only did he increase them, by the way, his top rate of 9.8% kicks in at $169,000 of income for a single filer.
Think about that. If you're in Minnesota and you make $169,000 on the next dollar you earn, the state takes almost 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. 4 years after he passed these tax increases, they had budget surpluses. Their unemployment rate was down to 3%. They had created 124,000 new jobs.
Minnesota's now, never had, though, the burden, the debt that Illinois
right.
has.
But what I'm saying is, it wasn't the tax increase that created the boom in the economy. Other things happened, but certainly how they invested the money, in particular investments in education and investments in infrastructure, which are the only two state policy decisions that have a statistically meaningful correlation to economic development, by the way, actually helped the economy.
Here's what I'm wondering.
The argument, John, though, simply that if you raise taxes or if you go to a graduated rate structure, you harm the economy. There are no data that support that, just none. And if you look at the nine states in America with the highest tax rates over the last decade, and you compare them to the nine miracle states with no income tax at all, Texas, Florida, Nevada, North Dakota, all these great states, the nine high tax states, your Connecticut's, New York's, California, et cetera, have better state GDP growth, better personal income growth, better net personal income growth, and better consumption growth than the no tax states.
So higher,
over a decade.
Higher taxes are better for the state. Higher taxes are better.
No, I'm saying they're not correlated. What you need to do is design a tax policy that reflects the modern economy and reflects how income gets distributed in the modern economy. So over the sequence, and this is the last period we have, from 1979 to 2015, the wealthiest 1% in income in households saw their incomes grow by 177%. The bottom 99% saw them grow by 9%. This is after inflation.
So you're telling me that the wealthy people in Illinois or America right now are not getting a good enough tax break? That they're paying a disproportionate share?
No, I'm saying that they are not paying enough in taxes, and they could certainly afford additional tax burden, and it won't harm their consumption pattern, won't harm their lifestyle. Heck, if you look at wealth distribution, this is just U.S. Census data, the wealthiest 10% in America hold 77% of all of America's wealth. The wealthiest 3% hold 50% of it. Taxing them more is not going
to
hurt them.
Right. So first, I have to disagree. There's plenty of literature that shows that higher top marginal rates have a negative effect on output growth. That's a fact, and I can share that research with you. But this is not the reason I'm here. The reason I dislike this proposal is exactly for the reasons that Ralph highlighted. He's advocating for a tax hike on the middle class, because Minnesota, when they first introduced their progressive income tax...
No, you can't put words in my mouth. Well, the tax proposal Pritzker put on the table only taxes the wealthiest 3% in the state.
In Minnesota, he said $161,000 is
right.
Middle class.
And I was using that as an example not ruining the economy, favor taxes at that level.
Hold on, please don't put words in my mouth.
Right.
And they raised taxes at a lower level, and it not only didn't hurt their economy continued to grow.
I don't necessarily
favor that.
Look, in Minnesota, The bottom end of the income distribution now faces top marginal rate when the progressive income tax was first introduced. What does that mean? A progressive income tax is a bridge to higher taxes. In Connecticut, when they first introduced a progressive income tax, they disguised it as a tax cut. But today, how do you call the people from Connecticut? People from the state of Connecticut.
Well, we call ourselves the Constitution
State.
That's where I was born, okay. Pick whatever you want.
Here's what I want both of you to do to stop and answer this question. So suppose we do get a graduated income tax.
Sure.
Suppose we decide to do that. It'll require a constitutional amendment. It won't happen tomorrow. Trust me, if this happens, it's not going to happen for 2 years, and that's fast. So if that happened, though, and here's what they're running the commercials on TV for, it should be fair. It should be a fair, and that it should be graduated starting at $250,000. Do you think that's fair?
It's not fair, because the majority of job creation in the state takes place right there with those people that create jobs, small business owners that make just about $250,000. People making less than $250 don't create jobs. They're self-employed. So we don't want to tax the working rich. We don't want to tax those people who are working very hard and creating jobs in the state of Illinois. There are 277,000 unemployed Illinoisans, and they deserve a chance. They deserve a job.
Seems to me like $250,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, I don't think so. In Chicago, $250,000. If you make that a family of four in Chicago, $250,000, you're going to take a hit. But on top of that, the small business job creators that clear $250,000 easily in Chicago.
Could we agree on a number then? Say we had a graduated tax rate, but $250,000 isn't enough. I hate the word fair, and I'm not sure where that number is. But if it were a graduated rate, and we were going to tax the rich, quote-unquote, more, where should we start?
I don't think we should change to a progressive income tax.
You're
period.
Not even going
to
no, answer
because,
that question
because we because we haven't well, I, we haven't I, we haven't addressed the spending side, right? So as long as spending continues to increase, and as long as we don't address the major cost drivers in the state of Illinois,
well, if we could save our way out of this, I'd be for it.
So once again, though, he's putting out comments that are just not supported by the evidence. So let's talk about spending in Illinois. We are spending less in our general fund on services today in nominal dollars, not adjusting for inflation, than we did a decade ago in 2009 at the end of the Great Recession. Less by $1 billion. And what do we spend our money on? 95 cents out of every dollar goes to four things: education, healthcare, social services, and public safety. We are spending less on all those items. If you want to adjust for inflation, you could go back to the year 2000, and we are spending less on all those items. And in fact, higher ed, we've cut by over 52%. All these arguments that spending has driven up our deficit problems in the state of Illinois are not based on one iota of provable data.
Do you think 250,000 is a fair threshold? Is that the right spot?
I absolutely think it's a great threshold because it's only impacting people in the wealthiest 3%, people whose incomes are growing significantly over time. So what this will do effectively is not reduce their income, it will reduce their growth in income. They will continue to have significant growth in income, just not quite as much as they had before.
That's not too much to ask.
Here's the bottom line. We did the math, and the governor's plan fails short in reaching the structural deficit number, $3.3 billion, right? The basic budget, structural budget deficit, let alone to go and raise enough money to deal with his spending promises.
Fellas, isn't that really, at the end of the day, so you guys don't agree on whether or not we should do this, and you don't agree on what the threshold is. Would you agree that if we did it, however bitter that pill, that at least it would work, that we would get more money, and that would help the state of Illinois? Look, politicians don't like raising taxes, probably even on the rich, but they'll do that if they, and God knows Illinois needs more money, or needs to, and or spend less. We've got to get out of this debt, and I don't know that we're going to be able to save our way out of it. So would you at least agree that it will generate more revenue for the state?
You know, absolutely. And the numbers that Governor Pritzker's administration put on the table are really close to what it's going to generate. They looked at the prior 5 years of economic activity in the state of Illinois and modeled going forward, predicating on that continuing. Now, that was during the recovery. And when we re-ran the numbers, we came up with a range of between 3.1 and 3.5 billion. They said it's going to generate 3.4.
Wait,
that's in the range.
This will get $3.4 billion, this tax plan of the governor's?
In new revenue.
Well, yes. I could use $3.4 billion.
So here's the problem with the math, right? Every economist from the Fed to the CBO predicts that economic growth is going to slow in the next year and two. The governor's estimate relies on a growth at the very beginning of the economic expansion that's not going to be realized. And if revenue falls short, which they will hike taxes on the middle class.
Except here's where the governor's exactly right. All the growth in the economy is going to the wealthiest 3%. So their incomes are going to continue to rise, even if for everyone else the economy flattens out. And like I say, go back to the actual economic data from 1979 through 2015, the last year there's comprehensive data available. 36-year period after inflation, the wealthiest 1% of households saw their incomes increase by 177%. The bottom 99%, only 9%.
I'm going to give both
of you. The income growth is at the top. That's where he's taxing. It doesn't take anything out of their ability to make a living or do anything else. It reduces a little bit their substantial growth and income.
Stay right there, Ralph Murphy. Stay right there. Ralph Martiri is with the Roosevelt University Public Policy. He's the Ruboff Professor of Public Policy over there. And Orfi Dubungi is the Chief Economist for the Illinois Policy Institute. Last word from these guys after this. If you watch TV, if you listen to the news, you've been hearing that the governor thinks that we ought to have a higher income tax rate for the wealthy people in the state of Illinois. The fair tax would start at 250,000 people. And you're going to hear this a lot. It's not going to happen anytime soon. It would require a constitutional amendment. But if it did, what should we do? We asked two people to come in and sound off on this. And here are their last words. Ralph Martiri is the executive director of the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. Did you just point to him? Do you want him to go first? Orfi, do you want to go first? Or does that mean he gets the last word and you don't like that one little bit?
Have the last word. He's a charming enough guy.
Orfi Dubungi is the chief economist for the Illinois Policy Institute. Go.
Absolutely. How do you trust a governor who says We are going to change the Constitution to allow for a progressive income tax, but not change the Constitution to deal with the largest cost driver in the state, causing the state's problems, which is our pension, the growth in our pension liability. And the second point is the math doesn't add up. We know that if we take Governor Pritzker at his word and that he gets an extra $19 billion in state spending, that's going to have to mean a middle class tax hike for a tax hike for you and I. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Okay, now your turn, Ralph.
Oh, well, just real quickly in response.
30 seconds, Ralph.
We could trust the governor because he campaigned on this issue and he's working for the issue. And he always opposed a constitutional amendment on the pensions because it wouldn't solve one problem. But number two, if we want our tax policy to reflect the modern economy, we have to adjust our taxes to reflect ability to pay. It's very clear that with worsening income inequality, we have to shift tax burden from low and moderate income families to more affluent families. The only tool in the tax kit that allows you to do that is the income tax. We need this change. It's a good piece of public policy. Everyone should support it.
Ralph Martiri, Orfi Duenge, thanks for coming in, fellas.
Thank you very much.
I don't know that anybody's made up their mind, but clearly you guys have. And I think that helps. We appreciate you coming in. It's